people, rise and labor to renovate the heart, that mankind's mighty Savior, whom God's love set apart to free you all from sin, may do the promised wonder, and with his life and splendor, victorious enter in. Prepare with earnest rigor the way for your great guest. Make straight his path with vigor. Rebuild your lives with zest. The sunken valleys fill. Restore eroded places where sin bursts leave their traces. Cut down the prideful hill. A heart that humbly serves him stands highest in his sight. The haughty heart, the proud whim, go down in anguish night. But those who love God's word and go where he is pointing are fit by his anointing to host their gracious Lord. Dear Lord, in high compassion, bend down with Advent grace. My heart, I pray, refashion with mercy from your face. Come from the thankless sin to make my heart your manger, that I no more a stranger eternal praise begin.
The Order of Matins, page 208. We stand.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us. Behold, the Lord comes to save us. Oh, come, let us worship him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, the Lord comes to save us. Oh, come, let us worship him.
You may be seated. The office hymn is hymn 329.
Is good and wise, and sets his will before our eyes, shows us the way of righteousness, and dooms to death when we transgress. His law of holiness imparts the knowledge of our sinful hearts, that we may see our lost estate and seek escape before too late. To those who help in Christ have found, and would in works of love abound, it shows what deeds are his delight, and should be done as good and right. When man the offered help disdained, and willfully in sin remain, its terror in their ear resounds, and keeps their wickedness in bounds. The law is good, but sense of fall, its holiness condemns us all. It dooms us for our sin to die, and has no power to justify. To Jesus we for refuge flee, who from the curse has set us free, and humbly worship at his throne, saved by his grace through faith alone.
The psalmody is found in your white bulletin insert. Chant responsively.
Oh, you who bring good tidings of peace to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength.
Say to the cities of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, see, our God is coming, the one whom we awaited. Unto a high mountain, you are bringing the good. We're doing alternating. Your turn.
Oh.
Earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it on the seas, and has set upon the waters.
Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place?
He who has prepared the end of your heart, who has uplifted up his soul to your idol, nor sworn deceit for me,
he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face.
Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O you who bring good tidings of peace to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Say to the cities of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, see, our God is coming, the one whom we awaited. Go up onto a high mountain, you who are bringing the good news to Zion.
Lift up your voice with strength.
Psalm 50. There shall come a star out of Jacob, a man shall rise out of Israel. All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him.
The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and all he has. From the rising of the sun to its going down.
out of Zion the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth that he may judge his people. Let the heavens declare his righteousness. For God himself is judge.
Hear, O Lord, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me.
I will not take a wound from your house, nor boast out of your foes.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness.
Will I eat the flesh of wolves, or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A man shall rise out of Israel.
He shall smite the princes of the Gentiles, and all the earth shall be his possession.
All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Now the Lord and ruler is coming, and he shall be called Emmanuel.
His face shall witness the righteous justice and the peace, and he shall be called Emmanuel.
But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth?
He who hates instruction and casts my words behind you.
When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers.
You did
sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes.
Now consider these you who wander far, lest I tear you in pieces and carry you to deliver.
Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Glory be
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Now the Lord and ruler is coming, and he shall be called Emmanuel.
His name shall witness the rise of justice and much peace, and he shall be called
Psalm 85. The voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquities of your people. You have covered all their sins.
You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger.
Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease.
Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation.
I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace of his.
Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and the land will be a
righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.
The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, a virgin espoused to Joseph.
Psalm 19. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the clouds rain down the righteous one. Let the earth be opened and bring forth the Savior. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race.
His rising is from heaven to heaven, and his circuit to the other hand, and there is nothing hidden from its feet.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired of his gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can understand his errors, cleanse me from secret faults?
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the clouds rain down the righteous one. Let the earth be opened and bring forth the Savior.
Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
The lesson for Ember Wednesday is from the second chapter of Isaiah. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Seventh chapter of Isaiah. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. This is the word of the Lord. And St. Luke, the first chapter. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Here ends the reading. Common Responsory, page 211. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Page 300 is our catechism that we will be using for today. Page 300, the Ten Commandments. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? Together? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That's our reading for today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The original world, as God created it, perished in the flood. It perished because the Lord said in Genesis 6, that the Lord saw the wickedness of every man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. It is because of the evil and the wickedness that God destroyed that first world with the flood. And yet, in other places before that, we find that at least in its outward appearance, it was the best world, the holiest, most. The men were more were quite honorable. You read in Genesis 4, How Adab or Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And so there we have farmers, and we have those who are ranchers and take care of things. And then later it talks about his brother was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. And so we had musical abilities. We had the arts going on in that first world. The harp and the flute, the harp, a difficult instrument to play. And so you would say, well, wow, looked nice. As for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And so the workers and the engineers were at work with bronze and iron and crafting beautiful things of this world. And so what about this destruction that seems to be about all this evil when externally it appears to be farming and music and craftsmen and so much nice stuff. God sees and judges things far differently than the eyes of men. Isaiah 55 says, "My ways are not your ways, but as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even though the external appearance of things might look very good, the Lord sees things in a different way, and He judges in a different way than the world does. And so God looks and sees original sin. He sees what we are like, and He says, no, this is not good, despite Him showering these great gifts upon us. And so we see that we have a God who is giving out so many things. He is giving out the beauties of this world with the music and the arts. He is supplying us with food in abundance, with crops and with animals and all. The Lord is giving out all of these blessings that come from a mind that is able to create in bronze and silver and these. And in that first world, He gave out those blessings in such abundance. We're amazed that at such a young age of the earth that they are able to engage in these things. But with these gifts, the men of the time who followed in the sin of Adam, and what I read from Genesis 4 was from none other than Cain's family, they mingled pride and the contempt of God with all of these gifts. And so where there is pride, that is the common fault of our nature, unless it is restrained by the Holy Spirit through the teaching of law and gospel, this original sin would become puffed up because of the gifts that God is bestowing upon us. In fact, God, who by His nature is so abundant in His gifts and showers out both upon the good and the evil, the sun and everything that we need, showers upon us a body, sound and healthy, possessions, wisdom, industry, government, even the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, as He showers it upon us. But we cannot fail, because of our sinful nature, to become haughty and arrogant. That's what we do. God gives us all of these good gifts, and yet we somehow attribute them to ourselves, and we misuse these gifts. Our life, if we did not have these gifts, would be quite wretched. But because of our pride, when God gives them to us, we become twice as wretched because of them. This is because of original sin. We take the gifts that He has and then we misuse them. We think that we have them because we are so good and what we have done. And thus, in this way, the world is unaware of original sin. Or if it sees anything that it may consider evil, it disregards it or considers it as a minor thing. But I tell you that God looks at the world different than we do and with different eyes, and He cannot overlook this pride, and we, without His work, cannot give it up. And so the sin of the descendants of Cain, yes, fine and wise men as it regards many different things, but they were very evil, and the world does not understand. And the world even criticizes God because He condemns men because of their internal wickedness, because of their pride. These spiritual vices which exist are great. Over the Ember Days, as we take a look at the Ten Commandments this week, we will be taking a look at the tables of the law. And I will spend quite a bit of time talking about the first table of the law and the second table of the law. The first table of law is the first three commandments as we deal with God. The last seven commandments are as how are we to act towards our neighbor. So love of God, then love of our neighbor. The world sees things backward. The world says, well, if you might engage in the second table, sins of the flesh, it might lead you away from God, which is what is commanded in the first. But that is exactly backwards. The scriptures teach that we do not fall from the second into the first table, but we fall from the first table, and then it produces thus in us, because of we do not have the one true God, the sins that come from the second table. Thus, in the same way, we see the devil with his fall is not from outward sins to he falls from heaven down to earth to hell. He falls from his denial of God and seeking to be God and to leave his place. And so also we find that that is exactly what men do. What do we find? Well, I didn't read for you a little bit later with Genesis 4. Then Lamech says to his wives, Ada and Zillah, and so now we all of a sudden realize he's committed adultery. He's got two wives. Hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to my speech. I have killed a man for wounded me. We find he has committed murder. And here he is bragging about what he has done due to his pride. What we find is that Cain's descendants had given up the one true God. And thus they did fall into outward and awful sins, having chiefly sinned against the first table, and that's why Cain was condemned, as well as his descendants, whom he had led astray, as long as they did not repent and return. And so we see then they fall into, well, outward sins of the second table of the law. We find that those who despise the first will fall into the second. And so, we need Moses. We need Moses and his teaching of the tables of the law, that he might show us the original sin that is within us. For the world, due to its pride, would not acknowledge it. We need in particularly the first table of law. Oh yes, the world has some idea about this externalness, although they misjudge and gay marriage and all kinds of crazy things. Nevertheless, externally they can see some things, but they can't see the root. They can't see the original sin, which is what the first table of the law points us to. What does it do? It comes to us, the first table, and it tells us that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That is its work. And so what does God desire? He desires faith. There are those who would say, well, what does God desire? We go to the first table and we say, well, what does God desire? Well, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do things for God. Well, what are you going to do for him? I'm going to go away into a monastery, or I'm going to, and you make up your own ideas of whatever external things you do. But that is not what God desires. God desires that we fear, love, and trust in him. God desires that his name might be remembered. God desires that there might be a receiving of his preaching and his word. And so we find that the first table of the law comes to us and says, do you have perfect fear, love, and trust of me so that you receive my word and keep my name holy? And we do not. And so the first table of the law points us to what God desires, and we find that we do not have it. And it is not the law that needs to be cast aside, but our pride, because we trust in other things. And in fact, we come to a realization of our sins because of the first table of the law, and this is excellent and good. For once we realize what we do not have, then we realize that we need to seek it. And that is what the law's job. The law's job is to show us our lack. The law's job is to be like the hand that points us where we need to go. It cannot take us there. That's all it can do is show us our lack. Show us what we need, which we don't have. But in its pointing, then the Lord can use the gospel to bring to us exactly what we need. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who did come and who did keep the first table of the law perfectly. And where the first table of the law is kept perfectly, we can see his obedient life in service to us and to others. And we see that he is in fact the Savior. Moses is not to be the Christ. The Christ, Jesus, is to be our Savior. And so Moses' job is done when he has shown us our lack. It is the gospel's job, and we need to keep the law and gospel separate so that we know who that Savior is and that it might instruct us concerning our sinful nature and what we do not have. When this done is done, then we are led to Christ. Then we are led to praise him. Our pride is put down so that we might speak of him, that we might sing of him, that we might consider it a great benefit that we might come this day and praise God and pray to him, that we might honor God's name, that we might hear his word and preaching. And where there is faith in Christ, it then produces, well, the works of the second table. That is, we love our wife, our spouse. We don't hurt our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every need. We no longer curse and swear or covet or bear false witness, because only the Lord can bring forth those things which he desires. And so we are led back then, back to what the Lord is doing into us. What he desires for us to have, that is what he gives us. And so in the preaching of the church, we teach and emphasize, first of all, faith. We emphasize the fear, love, and trust in God, which only he can produce, and which the law shows that we do not have. Where we have been given that, then we go on to speak to the godly concerning the second table, those things which we might do in service to our neighbor, and of which God is pleased. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. During Advent, the canticle is the Benedictus, page 217. We stand. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, all-powerful, the solemnity of our redemption is near. May it bring us the helps that are useful for our present life and obtain for us the rewards of eternal happiness. This we ask of you through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning. And you, though we in no wise deserve your goodness, abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we humbly pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness towards us, give thanks for all your benefits, and cheerfully serve you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty, everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.